City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We are talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Peter Maverick.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queer Cast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Always worth it. American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queer Cast, show number 171. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Years. Happy New Queers.
Happy New Queers.
Happy New Queers.
I'm an old queer, new queer.
No, you're not an old queer.
Virginal queer.
Well, you're not that either.
Come on. I could be.
Yeah, well, are you a virgin this year? I am so far.
Are
no,
you?
I'm not. Well...
It's so confusing when we're homosexual, isn't it? I don't know if we actually have had our cherry popped this year or not. Is it Bill Clinton, like you didn't really have sex with that woman, or is it, what is it?
But she's got the dress, that dirty, nasty whore.
I know.
Who keeps a dress with semen on it? Okay, we're not even going to go there, but that's just nasty.
That's crazy.
It's just nasty.
I've kept some mementos over time.
Sex mementos. You've sex kept mentos? Sex Mentos?
I've kept some Mentos, actually.
Some Mentos. Mentos are so full of life.
It's becoming a New Year's theme. I keep talking about Mentos.
The fruit ones are good. I don't really like the minty ones, though.
We have to get off Mentos.
They're like Pepto.
I can't think about them very long. They make me nervous. It's just I can't say Memento without thinking of Mentos.
Memento. That was a good movie.
Memento?
With Guy Pearce? Is that his name?
Yeah,
from Felicia, from Priscilla Queen the Desert.
He's a handsome cuss. He's also in L.A. Confidential.
He is. He was in The Time Machine, which was horrible, but he was good to look at.
Yeah, he's good to look at. Yeah, pretty.
Delicious.
Speaking of pretty people, ladies, tomorrow night, well, if you're listening to this podcast, the second that we issue it out, but if not...
Zoom.
Yeah, if not...
Oh, they know already.
You know already.
They know. They can smell it coming.
You can smell it. The L Word is premiering, so either you're listening to this after you've already seen it, or you're waiting with anticipation for tomorrow night.
Passion. So what are we, season three now? Season four? Season
four.
Seven?
I think it's season four.
Do you think so? Do you have them on DVD?
I have a couple of seasons on DVD.
Do you have the first couple seasons?
I think so. Why do you want to watch them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, you know, there's not a lot on the television, but we'll get there later.
Yeah, we'll get there. Well, there will be a full season of The L Word because they film, you know, back in the summer.
In Canadanadia.
In Canadanadia with some Mentos in their trailers. we were watching last night some television and they've been showing all the little teasers and it actually looks like there's some good hair this year, and we gauge it all on Shane's hair. I don't know, for those people who want to go back to the show when Sandra Bernhardt said, you know, that Sandra Bernhardt was talking about Shane, and she said it was the name of that band. She's a something with a goyim with that hair. What is the word in Yiddish for embarrassment? She's a something for the goyim with that hair.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Oh, it's that band.
It's the
and they're
Yiddish
trans.
Word on the...
Okay, well, anyhow, yeah. I'll have to go back and listen to the interview with Sandra Bernhardt so I know. It'll pop into my head probably the next episode. But anyhow, Shane's got some longer looking, less stuck to her head, pasted down
longer
hair.
Longer looking, less stuck to her head.
I don't know. It's just there. I can usually tell with the hair. We're also going to have some good prison sex because Helena's going to go to prison.
Ooh.
And,
prison sex. Lesbian prison sex. So wait. I got to know about that. So how does that work?
Lesbian prison sex, not much different than Oz. No. I mean, like her and the inmate.
Oh,
she's like, you know, all hot for the inmate that's doing push-ups in the cell, the bunk next door. And you have to remember, Helena's the one that was very, very, very wealthy and cut off from her mother, had more money than God.
And
she stole money in the last episode from her girlfriend who was kind of keeping her as a slave. So, you know, Peter, you've got lots to see.
Oh, my God. See, I really have to pick up on this. And I have the time, so I can do it.
Yeah, we've got the soldier going off to the Iraq war. And she's off, so we'll see what that looks like. I guess those will be kind of conjugal visits because somehow Alice is going to go and see Tasha.
Don't get sand.
And then we're going to have the big love triangle this year with Bette and her. Which woman is she going to choose? Marley Matlin, the new woman in her life, or is she going to go back to that's Jennifer Beals, or is she going to go back to Tina, the original love of her life and mother of her child? So it's going to be very, very interesting. And you know, it's the show we love to hate, folks. We get your soft pillows ready on your couch so you can throw it, because we have to watch it. I mean, there's no way not
no,
to watch
you got
it.
To. It's queer TV. I mean, just TV. That in itself, and I'm ashamed to say that I haven't been watching it, which is why I have to catch up right now.
Yeah.
And I have to do it, and I have to make this part of my
Well, there were lots
regime.
Of boy, and there was lots of boy and lots of boy ass and
I remember
stuff
season
like that
one
season
Spotty
one.
That I remember mm-hmm. we were watching it at Spin, and I was like, oh my God, he has the most perfect out of, what was that movie with Rosie O'Donnell in the bondage suit? He's the most perfect.
Rosie O'Donnell. Oh, you talking about Exit to Eden?
Exit to Eden ass. Yes, the little,
the beautiful,
you know, the Australian
Strictly
guy.
Ballroom.
Yeah, who did, there was an ass like that on TV. I was like, oh, well, maybe I need to watch this
no,
show.
No, it's the cute guy now who's on Ugly Betty. Eric Mabius, who is the lead on Ugly Betty, was the original.
The
boyfriend.
Shondas. That
the
was
Shondas.
It.
The Shondas.
It
She's
just
the
came
Shonda
to me.
With the goyim with that
yes,
hair.
There you go.
That's what she said about Shane. Oh, Sandra, we love you. We love you,
came,
Sandra.
I was trying to do the Yiddish, and it didn't come up. And all of a sudden it came
there
to me.
There you go.
So.
The Shonda with the Shondas. For the goyim with mm-hmm. that hair.
There you go.
Which made me laugh. I would have never known what Shonda was, but we had just gotten the CD from that band, so I knew what it was.
Absolutely.
And then the other big thing, I mean, is just like, you know, how you and I have not had an opportunity to talk since the big New Year's white trash party that you had in your house.
Baby!
You had like kitty for litter. Kitty had, litter.
Oh my God, can I show you the picture? Did you see the picture?
No,
I have to show you the
picture.
It's
kitty litter pie or
it's
cake.
Kitty litter cake.
And it's you make it gray cake. And ugly, and it looks like
and,
it has
and
little
it's got
poops.
Little chlorophylls.
So you
in
can
it.
Go to radiotheater.com. Oh my God, it makes me want to throw up.
It is so delicious.
Oh my God, that is so ugly. What's green on it?
So basically what the cake is, I'll
oh
explain the whole
God,
cake.
Oh my God, that is awful looking.
No,
did people
it
actually
so
eat it?
Good, yeah.
Oh my God, look that makes me want to, I think I just threw up in my mouth a little bit. So, okay, you have to take that off. What are those turd looking things? They're
those
just
are,
too
those are Tootsie
red.
Rolls. Those
oh,
are
they're
Tootsie
too
rolls.
Red.
No, they're not red. Well, they're just red because of the, I mean, it's a Tootsie Roll though. It's like a light brown.
Oh my God. Are they giant Tootsie Rolls? They're not
no,
little
no, no.
ones.
This is a cat box. It's a kitten box, so it's a really tiny one. It's just because I'm in up close.
Oh, you are up close. Oh, my God. Peter, I think I'm scarred. I'm like Phoebe from Friends when she's like, my eyes.
Basically, what you're seeing on the top, the green crumbs and the gray crumbs, because they're dyed with food coloring, they're vanilla sandwich cookies just ground up in the blender. So they're cookies. It's sugar and sweetness, and it's tasty. And some are dyed green to look like the chlorophyll. And then these are little, the turds are made out of Tootsie Rolls that you put in the microwave to get them a little soft.
I see that they look like they came out of somebody's anus. They're gross. They're so gross.
And then the cake underneath is a chocolate cake and a yellow cake. And it's mixed with vanilla pudding, so it's like a pudding cake.
Oh, good God.
So it's really to die for. It tastes really, really good. Oh, and
did everybody like hurl when they came in?
Yeah, most
and
people
saw
didn't
it.
Touch it until I like took a big chunk out and then people started to nibble at it. But I had a baby pooper scooper too, a clean pooper scooper to serve it with. And that's not in the pictures. But yeah, people absolutely gagged about it. They couldn't even stand it. They were like, that is the most disgusting looking food I've ever seen.
It is the most disgusting thing. You have to go to radiopeter.com. And check out that. That's hilarious.
That and when
oh
you're there,
God.
Subscribe to me on Twitter if you're on Twitter.
Oh, radio, God, that Twitter. Is so gross.
Yeah, but it was super fun.
So that was the hit of the party.
That was one of the, so here is my menu. There was a cheese ball. It was a Spam and cheese ball I made. Spam is good, actually.
Spam.
With a little, people didn't even know it was Spam. They were all eating it. They're like, what is this ham ball made out of? I was like, that's Spam. Spam and cheese, thanks. The kitty litter cake. I made some corn casserole. I found it on the Salvation Army's website.
I like corn casserole.
It's like corn, cream corn, whole corn, Jiffy, and an egg.
Yeah, we make that every... I had
oh
that Christmas.
Oh, my God. It's so good.
That's not white trash, honey. That's called a casserole.
That's white trash. The casserole was some tater tot hot dish. Now, okay. For my friends in the Minnesota area, good. Brown the ground beef with onions and garlic, then put a can of cream of chicken, a can of celery soup, put it over a pan of tater tots, put some cheddar cheese, put more tater tots, and bake it.
There you go.
So delightful. And then we had some squeezy cheese and some Ritz, and Ken made some pulled pork, and everyone wore tacky clothes. It was just delightful. We had such a good time. So much fun.
I love it.
What did you do? Did you do comfort?
I went to some parties. I went to some friends that are kind of in the neighborhood, crossed over the street. Mm-hmm. It was really fun. It was a huge party. I didn't expect it to be that big, but just kind of sat on the couch talking to people and just looking outside at how freaking gorgeous it was, New Year's mm-hmm. Eve in the sea. Like, the trees were holding so much snow that I was like talking to a friend of mine, and we were just sitting there in the corner, and I looked out the window, and this tree was like so gorgeous. Like, oh my God, just turn around and look at that tree. It was so blowing, and it was really pretty. And then Kelly and I walked home, and then we drove to my friend David's house, and he has a gorgeous house, and we went over there for just a little while, and then I turned to her and I said, you know what, I want to be home before midnight. So we came home, and we kind of did that thing, you know,
just chill. Did you watch New York? Did you see New York drop?
You know what? By the time, no, we didn't see it live. We saw it like 2 minutes after it dropped, but then we saw like Mariah's naked ass on some channel. Like, she's basically very naked.
We didn't have the TV on for much.
I love her. We didn't either. I mean, we just had on for that minute, and then Kelly was like, I cannot bring in the new year with Mariah Carey because she does not appreciate, but
she don't understand.
She don't appreciate.
Where's the respect?
Yeah, she do not appreciate. But I love that Mariah is just all out there and all her self, all of her curvaceous self, and
well,
I liked it.
She seems so happy these days. She just
seems
it's
so good.
Happy.
I'm glad that Mariah and the Christina seem happy these days.
Yeah, I'm gonna start a fund this year to euthanize Dick Clark because the man is just—he's over. He's done.
Yeah, was he on? I didn't see.
Oh,
him.
He was. We watched him. We watched him with because you know I
Ryan
had to
Seacrest?
See my baby Ryan Seacrest. I had to see Ryan Seacrest is seriously my idol, and I'm not. That's not a pun on American Idol. He really is my idol. The man has 16,000 jobs. He's great at what he does. He's always happy. He's always smiling, and he's always out in public. I want to be him.
Yeah.
But Dick Clark needs to die. I think he died a long time ago, and I think it's a drag
stroke,
queen that puts
you know?
A Dick Clark suit on.
Oh, dear God.
He's just, well, and now, you know, everybody's in HD, and in HD, you can't use regular makeup. You have to use special makeup.
Yeah.
I don't know if you knew this. They have to use this new airbrushed makeup because otherwise it looks like nasty pancake on you. It doesn't matter how good the makeup is. You can't use like silica and the regular chemicals. So he was so damn tanned, it looked unnatural. It really looked like he got up out of the casket and went on TV. He didn't look right. And the man, you know, he was aging gracefully 20 years ago. He's kind of ancient. So I think Dick Clark, he needs to just, you know.
His heart. But what an institution
and
for
a
America.
Legacy. I mean, everybody knows that. The problem is that if he doesn't step down gracefully, he's going to die. And then when he dies and we get to New Year, it's going to be the biggest downer ever.
Yeah.
So my personal feeling is he should step down gracefully and enjoy his life and do some stuff. But he was just outside cold. He seemed out of it. He didn't know what was going on.
See, I missed all of that. See, we turned on because we wanted to watch, you know, host Kat Deely from So You Think You Can Dance, and we love her. And so we had to watch. We watched her for like, we watched all of it for about 5.5 minutes.
Yeah, we did the 5 minute countdown on both sides. We did the 5 minute countdown in New York to watch the ball drop because the new ball was kind of sexy. It had lots of LED lights. It was doing really cool stuff. It was really kind of fantastic. And then unfortunately, someone wanted to watch ABC7. And that cunt, Janet Davies, who I can't even fucking stand. I think I've told you many Janet Davies stories.
Oh, yes.
So I'm not even going to recount them here because it's not even worth it
That's
to give her
House
more power.
That's the House of Blues downtown?
I don't know where she was. It was in a big venue, though. I think it was in a hotel because it looked like a hotel banquet hall. But she was on there looking hideous, trying to act like she was 12. That's another one that needs euthanized, basically. But we watched the countdown in both sides. But the best part about New Year's was this gentleman, Elliot, who lives upstairs from my friends where we had the party. His mother was there. She's, I don't know, I think she's in her 70s or 80s, mm-hmm. maybe. She's a wonderful woman. She grew up in Puerto Rico, and then she moved to Ohio, so she's very Puerto Rican. Her and I sat there. We had a fountain of white Cosmos. It was a fountain, just a drinking fountain. Not a drinking fountain, but like, you know, a drink fountain.
Yeah.
So her and I sat across from the fountain almost all night, sipping on Cosmos, talking about everything. She was the most amazing people. My mind now is clicked to whenever I meet someone who's significantly older than me, I'm like, I have to talk to this person. I have to find out about their life. I have to know about them. I have to meet them. I have to engage with them. So I spent a good portion of the night between like tending the food, just chatting with her about life and about cooking. And, you know, finally, after the liquor got flowing, I got comfortable speaking Spanish to her, and her and I just went going off. She's like, how do you know how to speak like this? Blah, blah, blah. Then we started talking about food, and I got her mofongo recipe, and we started, I gave her my tzatziki recipe for the Greek gyro sauce.
Yeah.
Back and forth. But it was just so amazing to just interact with her and talk and, you know, talk about her life and what she's been through and where she's been and what she's seen. And God, that that whole experience made for a great New Year's Eve.
Look at that. Well, it's really just about being with people, isn't
it? Yeah. I was wearing a Jameson hat, a Jameson t-shirt, a cutoff flannel, some jeans.
I turned to Kelly and said, we were flipping through the television. It must just be so anticlimactic only for New Year's to live in LA. It just happens so many hours later for you than everybody
the
else.
The entire world is there. Well, Hawaii. How about Hawaii?
Or Hawaii. It's kind of like the way I felt in college because I was always doing theater and I would get to frat parties like after everybody was drunk and you're like, yeah. I should just go home. Yeah. I can't catch up.
If I'm not riding the roller coaster with you, it's not that fun.
Yeah. So I really felt for that. But, you know, I've been in Times Square for New Year's.
Really? And I've never done it.
Kelly's never done it either. And she lived there for 14 years. I'm like, oh, my God, I've been there. Huh. My father and I went. And what's amazing is you look forward. Now, we were not down in it. We were probably about 8 blocks back. But you're still in
it. Oh, my God. But there's
you're like 8 or 10 blocks back. You're still,
people, yeah. I'm sure.
But you like are facing one direction and you're looking at the ball. And then as soon as the ball drops, you turn around and you look over the harbor and you watch the fireworks. So you just pivot 180 degrees and the fireworks are going on behind
fantastic.
You. And it's just, or at least where we were standing, we could see both and it was just awesome. So it's definitely something I think everybody in their lifetime should be in Times Square once.
My favorite was Y2K. I was in London. I was actually on, I was on London Bridge, which is not the pretty one you see in pictures. That's actually Tower Bridge. But we were on London Bridge looking at Tower Bridge.
Oh, wow.
And it was just incredible. And there are not enough public restrooms in London.
Well, you're That's a boy, so good for you.
Right. Well, I mean, people were basically writing their name everywhere. It was kind of frightening, but it was more about the vomit that was the disgusting part.
Oh, no.
Well, you know, hey, Y2K, people were going crazy.
The Brits.
People were going crazy. What did you do for Y2K during? Where were you?
Oh, good God. I was at Tomboy, or I was at The Room. I think I was at Tomboy. Mm-hmm. No, I was. I was at Tomboy. Mm-hmm. And I lost my watch that night.
Oh, no.
Which kind of seemed appropriate. I'd had this watch since I was 16. I begged my parents for this watch, and I had it on my arm every day of my life until I lost it that night.
Wow. Well, you lose a little something, then you
That's
get a little
right.
something
That's
else.
That's what I
so
felt.
It's all good.
I got me another watch that next Christmas.
It was a transitional point. Well, totally unrelated, but, you know, fun nonetheless.
But ringing in the new year.
Ringing in the new year.
And with much festive.
With, I mean,
LED lights and fireworks and all of it.
Men
Big
in
balls
tutus.
Dropping. It's all the same.
Men in tutus and tight. On the show today, on tights. I don't know if they're tight or not.
They're
tight. They haven't been here yet. Tori Dobrin is on the show. Tori Dobrin is the artistic director of a fantastic ballet troupe of men.
Yes.
Of male ballerinas called Le Ballet Trocadero de Monte Carlo. Now, these guys are pretty amazing because for almost over 30 years
For
over 30 years, they've been performing around the world in premier venues everywhere. We're not talking just someone, some little club. These are real dancers who've been doing real ballet for years.
Yeah, and in Parisian opera houses, Italian opera houses.
Everywhere. 300 cities around the world, I think they just clocked.
Yeah, just extraordinary. And I have to say that, you know, they do a classical repertoire and then some of their own things.
Some fun.
You know, they have some fun and they have some reality. But I just went to see the Joffrey do the Nutcracker on their closing as soon as I got back, just the 2 nights before. Or the night before New Year's. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, it's just fantastic. The world of ballet, to remember being a young child and seeing the Nutcracker and seeing it now. And, you know, and seeing any of these ballets from Swan Lake to Coppelia to
anything.
I mean, any of these. So they're going to do, I think they are going to do some Swan Lake while they're here. They're going to be at the Harris Theater in Millennium Park. And it's one night only, January 17th.
Yeah.
So
and the biggest
we're trying
thing...
to push this out so you can go out and get your tickets because I will be there front and center.
And I think the biggest important thing is that all the proceeds from this show are going to, I believe, AFC, AIDS Foundation Chicago.
Yeah.
So this isn't, it's not putting money in their pockets this time around. It's really helping just a great cause. And what a great way to start the year.
Yeah.
Start the year with a donation to a wonderful, wonderful organization. So stick around. We've got Tori on the show, plus we've got news. We're going to tell you what's going on in the theater community. Because if you're not in the theater, I don't know what you're doing, but get your ass
in the
theater.
Not in January and February. That's where you should be.
Absolutely. Stick around.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Perhaps fashion's greatest mystery. What makes a big strong man say, I think I need a new fur coat?
I don't know.
The very height of political incorrectness.
Nothing says I could give a rat's rear end like a man in a floor-length chinchilla.
I'm taking no prisoners.
A look that's half street pimp, half Aunt Esther, and full-on fur-tastic. Sure, it's gauche, but you don't spend more on your coat than your car, not to be noticed.
Look at me.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer, because it takes a real man to wear a lady's coat.
Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of January 1st, 2008, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Hephaestus, a Greek mythology circus tale, returns to Looking Glass Theater in the Water Tower Waterworks. The Wall Street Journal calls it explosive, dazzling, dangerous. For tickets to Hephaestus, call 312-337-0665 or visit lookingglasstheater.org.
The all-male comedic ballet company Le Ballet Trocadero de Monte Carlo, or The Trocs as they are affectionately called, appear one night only at the Harris Theater in Millennium Park, January 17th. This hilarious troupe performs a fabulous evening of high art and satire. Tickets for Trox are the perfect gift for all of the divas, prima ballerinas, and darlings on your holiday list. Call 312-334-7777 or visit harristheaterchicago.org today.
About Face Theater presents The Little Dog Laughed, a fast-paced and hilarious look at the world of celebrity by Douglas Carter Bean, directed by Eric Rosen. A hot Hollywood actor is about to win the role of a lifetime, but can he keep his sexuality under wraps? Playing January 9th through February 17th at the new Hoover Leppin Theater at the Center on Halsted, 3656 North Halsted. For tickets to The Little Dog Laughed, visit aboutfacetheater.com.
Court Theater artistic director Charles Newell adapts and directs Titus Andronicus, Shakespeare's riveting tale of jealousy and revenge. Relish this new adaptation as a modern saga of privilege and entitlement brimming with aggression that is just a facade, or is it? Titus Andronicus is now playing through February 10th. For tickets, call 773-753-4472 or visit courttheater.org.
Altar Boys is a hilarious, wholly inspiring musical comedy about five small-town boys, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Juan, and Abraham, trying to save the world one screaming fan at a time. The Tribune says this production is brilliant. You'll laugh your socks off. Altar Boys is playing now at the Drury Lane Water Tower Theater. Visit alterboyschicago.com.
And for more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com.
Find out what happened before Dorothy dropped in at Wicked, Chicago's newest smash hit musical, and the untold story of the Witches of Oz.
Popular, I know about popular.
Popular, USA Today calls Wicked a triumph. And Time Magazine writes, if every musical had the brain, the heart, and the courage of Wicked, Broadway really would be a magical place. Now, this Grammy Award-winning blockbuster has cast its spell over Chicago. Wicked, at the Ford Center for the Performing Arts Oriental Theater.
And nobody in all of Oz, no wizard that there is or was, is ever gonna bring me.
Call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com today. Because the longer you wait, the longer you'll wait to see Wicked.
And this is your Windy City Queercast News.
The first openly gay president of the National Association of Black Journalists, Thomas Morgan III, died of AIDS complications. Morgan, age 56, was former reporter and editor for the New York Times. He was a president of the NABJ from 1989 to 1991. Morgan was also an AIDS activist.
Following the news that a Pennsylvania high school student dropped out of school due to anti-gay harassment, 300 of his fellow classmates have signed a petition demanding changes be made. The students want the school district to change how it handles anti-gay discrimination and abuse. Since the petition, the school district superintendent has started a review of the school and how it handles such situations.
While recently campaigning in Iowa, Republican presidential candidate Mike Huckabee attempted to explain the reasoning behind his anti-gay stance. Huckabee told a crowd in western Iowa, "It's not because I don't like them. It's because I like the idea that the heart and soul, the essence of our civilization, is in the family,
It's not in the government. Before there was church and before there was government, there was family. He added that he'll never waver on the issue.
After a 9-year ban, a federal bill has passed that will allow the nation's capital to provide funding for needle exchange programs in Washington, D.C. City officials say that the lifting of the ban will help combat increasing rates of HIV and AIDS in the city. A federal spending bill recently signed by President Bush allows the city to spend its own money on needle exchange programs.
Uruguay's President Tabaré Vázquez recently signed legislation to allow same-sex couples to enter into civil unions. Uruguay is now the first country in Latin America to allow this. The law takes effect on January 1st. The country's gay rights groups say they will continue to fight for full marriage equality.
Rumors say that the pop princess Kylie Minogue will lead Sydney's Mardi Gras Festival, a festival for the gays, next year. Minogue confirmed her interest and said that she would like to perform at the parade. The gay parade will be held in Sydney, Australia in February.
Yay.
Australia.
We have to go.
Yes, let's do. Let's go down under.
Good
day.
Under. And that's your Windy City Queercast News.
Katie Lang, you're listening to Amy and Peter on the Windy City Queercast. And
well, folks, when most of us think of ballet, we picture graceful dancers in tutus floating across the stage. But on January 17th at the Harris Theater right here in Chicago, the ballerinas will all be men.
What?
That's right. Le Ballet Trocadero de Monte Carlo, better known as The Trox, will be appearing in a benefit for the AIDS Foundation of Chicago. Tori Dobrin is here to tell us about their playful parody of dance. Hi, Tori. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Thanks.
Hey, Tori. It's so exciting that you all grew up wanting to be ballerinas. I wanted to grow up being a ballerina, lesbian that I am, and it just didn't work. It didn't come to pass for me, and I'm so glad that it came to pass for all of you gents.
Yeah. No, we enjoy doing it for sure.
Well, now tell us about the beginning of the Trox, because they've been going strong for over 30 years now. How did the company get started?
Well, I guess the long answer, which is kind of interest to the gay community, is that it really came out of the Stonewall era of New York. After Stonewall happened in the Lower East Side of Manhattan and East in the Greenwich Village, there was a lot of drag and other gay-related theater going on in clubs and bars and off-Broadway theaters. Mm-hmm. And the Trox really came out of that movement. There was one man specifically who had formed this company called the Ridiculous Theatrical Company, and his name was Charles Ludlam.
Love him.
Mm-hmm. Do you know him?
Oh, very much. I mean, okay. You can't know your gay theater history and not know Charles.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that. And he asked a man to be a drag ballerina in one of his productions, and that man went on to form the Trocadero.
Wow. So you started even at the beginning. And for you, you started with the company pretty early on in their history, yeah?
Yeah, the company started in 1974, and I joined in 1980.
Mm-hmm. And you began as a dancer. So was this just for fun in the beginning, or I mean, was it a gas, or what
yeah,
was it to you?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I was taking a class in New York City, and a friend of mine who was in the Trox said, "Oh, they're looking for dancers to go on a 9-week tour to South America," and I said, "Sure, why not? Sounds like fun." And I went, and it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
So wait a minute, 1980s South America, and you guys are all in drag as ballerinas. Were people completely open to it? Was there any animosity towards you, or was it just all in
1980, because it was really the in the middle of, or maybe the height of, the military dictatorships in South America.
Yeah,
we actually, I believe, were used as a way for the population to rebel in a way culturally against the government. And so the audiences were sensational. It was a tough time. I remember we were in Buenos Aires, and you know, the police would follow us on the street. These really, you know, incredibly good-looking men trying to get us involved in something that would be considered illegal in their country. Mm. And we were warned to just ignore them, because it could cause all sorts of problems. But here we were performing at really great theaters, including, you know, some of the opera houses, and playing to sold-out audiences. The audiences would, you know, send flowers on the stage, you know, throw the flowers on the stage at the conclusion and cheering. It was really an incredible experience.
So let me ask, being somebody who, you know, loves seeing ballet but has never seen the Trox, like, what am I going to see? Are you doing reinterpretations of Giselle, reinterpretations of Swan Lake, or is it original material? Is it classical entirely in form, and are you dancing on point? I mean, what is actually the repertoire for the company?
Well, what we've been doing for, you know, 34 years is that we take classical ballets for the most part, and we stage them exactly as they are done anywhere else in any other ballet company. And the company is made up of basically stand-up comedian-type dancers. And so what we do is that we shape the program so that we turn it into a comedy ballet company, but also one that has different kinds of comedy, so it's not just all slapstick all evening long. So, for instance, in Chicago, we are going to do Swan Lake Act Two, which is basically the staging that they do at the Royal Ballet in London. Mm-hmm. However, for us, we've turned it into kind of a campy, it's very campy, you know, very fun, very, the core is more like a fractious batch of birds, you know, causing trouble. The Swan Queen is, you know, just unbelievably impatient with the kind of dull prince, and it's very, very funny. As the evening goes on, we present a lot of different other kinds of parody and satire. By the end of the evening, we'll be doing a big Russian ballet called Paquita. Mm. This was staged for us by a woman from St. Petersburg, and we staged it. She staged it just how she danced it in St. Petersburg. But, of course, we change it around. We add characterization. We add a lot of exaggeration of style, and we add some jokes. So anyone can really enjoy it for theater, for comedy, or for dance.
So I've got to ask, you know, the female ballet archetype is sort of this ethereal, light, and this wispy-bodied nymph floating
around.
Easy to lift. But you're all men, obviously. So what is that physically? It seems incredibly demanding for all the dancers. What is that like?
And are you dancing on your toes? I have to know that.
Yeah, the guys are dancing all on their toes, which is what something that a female normally does, a female ballerina. But, you know, who said that a male couldn't do it?
I agree. And probably they're better because they have stronger damn ankles than most women.
Nice
let me tell
calves.
You.
That's yeah. what I'm thinking.
I actually like to compare it to tennis. So then we have someone named Steffi Graf and Andre Agassi playing great tennis, right? But they both learn the same exact technique for tennis. They learn drop shots and serves and slices and, you know, everything that they do, they learn in the same way. The only difference, possibly, is that Andre Agassi hits the ball a lot harder, and probably Steffi Graf looks a little bit more graceful and has more finesse. And that's exactly the same thing. So when a girl is learning point work, she is learning to developing a lot of finesse, where we're going more for the male attack.
Mm.
And we hit the ballet technique as males, but on point in those tutus and wigs and eyelashes. And that really is, so the audience is really looking at something that's, you know, familiar to what they know if they're familiar with ballet, but it's completely different in feeling. Mm-hmm. And that's where some of the comedy and some of the interest lies.
Well, Tori, for you, I know you started in the company, as you mentioned, in 1980 as a dancer, but then throughout your career with the Trox, you became the company manager and then the artistic director. What is it about the company that keeps you coming back and really invested in them?
You mean the audience in terms of coming back to see it?
No, for you, because you've had such a long career with them. What is it that keeps you coming back to it?
Maybe the product of a deranged mind. it's fun. You know, how many, you know, it's fun. I love ballet because I was trained as a dancer, and I love comedy, and I like drag, and the atmosphere in the company is kind of like a family, and it's fun. We go all around the world performing to very enthusiastic audiences. It's really quite interesting, you know.
How big is your company, and how much training and rehearsal goes into the pre-production before you hit the road and take the show on the road, so to speak?
Well, the company is 16 members, and it is a full-time, year-round job. We you know, in American dance, where it's considered, you know, paid by the week. And it's not a 52-week contract, because no dance companies are. It's about a 40-week contract. And we are organized in terms of our rehearsals and staging of our ballets, just like any other company. We rehearse. You know, the company is pretty stable in terms of the dancers staying with us. So, for instance, you know, before we go to Chicago, we'll rehearse for exactly 1 week, and then we'll take that show, and we're going to go all around the United States with that show, those ballets. We have about 50 ballets in the repertory, and so we just mix and match them, you know, to create a really good program. Because we haven't been to Chicago, the city itself, in quite a few years. We're bringing, you know, our sort of classic program.
I see. And I just was on your website a little earlier, which is, I believe, trocadero.org, where folks can check them out as a company. But congratulations, you just celebrated like 500 cities around the world. It's just an astounding number.
Usually at the end of every year, I check to see what cities have been new. And every year we have a few new cities, and that's pretty exciting. And if you think about it, even though it's not a gay show per se, because you have to define, in my opinion, a gay show by addressing, you know, gay issues, you know, gays in the military, gay marriage, gay adoption, you know, things like that. There is a lot of gay sensibility in the show, of course, because, you know, most of the people who have come through the company have been gay. So in our own way, we're actually, you know, bringing a type of gay culture all around the globe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, I mean, when I joined in 80, which is, you know, a long time ago already, we would go into these theaters in Des Moines, Iowa, and Omaha, and Birmingham, Alabama, pretty much to hostile stage, you know, the people who worked behind the scenes, the stage crew, you know, the guys on the crew side, you know, I mean, generally speaking, be pretty hostile towards us, not knowing who we were or, you know, what we were about. We're just some crazy drag queens from their point of view. But we always conducted ourselves in what I would say is a very professional manner, and now we're pretty much welcomed everywhere. And, you know, if you think about it, in 1974, the Trocadero was playing at midnight shows on 14th Street in Manhattan. And just 2 years ago, that would, what, be 2005, we were performing at both the Châtelet Theater in Paris and the Bolshoi Theater in Moscow. So that's a really long road to travel.
It is.
An organization.
Well, and even though you say that you're maybe not a gay or queer you know, theatrical experience, obviously you are challenging gender roles, which, you know, with people, many lay people connect gender and sexuality, exploration and contradiction and being challenged by both of those topics. You know, many of us in the gay community know those two things are separate, but obviously connected. And so I think that that work that you've done has to have created change. I mean, just to hear the difference of when you show up and you're professional and then they see your talent and your skills as performers, that you change minds, you change lives that way, like one city, one show at a time with a troupe. Where did the name come from?
I totally 100% agree with that. We have contributed to, acceptance for our community.
Yeah, I totally agree. Where did the name come from?
That's a little bit. The guys who formed the Trocadero way back when probably had no idea, you know, that 34 years later it was still going to be here. And so it's a little bit cryptic in its description, but basically it's an homage to all the ballet. In the early part of the last century, the ballet boom of that century was really started by Diaghilev and his Ballet Russe company. And after he died in 1929, many people who had been involved with the company tried to form their own kind of Ballet Russe. So there was the Ballet Russe de Monte Carlo, the original Ballet Russe, Le Ballet de Monte Carlo, Le Ballet Russe. So the Trocadero really is paying homage to all of those Ballet Russe companies. That's why we change our names. You know, for instance, Paul Gieslin, who's now our ballet master and our senior ballerina, his stage name is Ida Never Say Never.
So Ida Never Say Never.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we take these crazy Russian names, and that's how it was. You know, I grew up in Los Angeles and studied with a woman named Patricia Denise, but actually she was from Canada, but she had to dance under the name of Alexandra Denisova. So, you know, that was the way it was back then. So that's why Trocadero really does pay homage to all those dusty older Russian touring companies.
Evoking all those wonderful old names. So after encircling the globe many times over, what are some of the your favorite experiences that you've had while dancing?
It's always great when the audience is really savvy and you're in a really, really gorgeous theater. And recently, last year, we performed in this huge brand new theater in Milan. And that was really one of the most sensational performances we ever did. It was when the theater that was built for the La Scala opera, ballet and opera to go to when the main theater was being constructed, reconstructed in the center of the town. And it was this gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous theater, you know, filled with gold. And the main curtain was this beautiful plush red color. And the audience was just unbelievably gorgeous and ready, coming to have a good time. But if you looked at them in the auditorium, I was saying, oh, my God, we're in for trouble.
Uh-oh.
An audience that is going to be very quiet. But they were sensational. And we get that a lot, actually. We recently came back from Maison de la Danse in Lyon and also from Prague and Bologna in Italy and had really, really, really great audiences. But what has also been kind of exciting lately is that we sometimes get kids in the auditorium. And in Japan, where we go every summer since 1982 now, we're actually going to do a school performance in Nagoya. They're going to bring children from all over the school districts. You know, like, I don't know how it is in Chicago, but when I was growing up in L.A., you know, they would take all the kids to the Shrine Auditorium, you know,
right.
Like 5,000 feet house.
Right. Everybody go to the CSO. We're going to the symphony this today, and it's the kids' show. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and no, and we saw the, like the Marriage of Figaro, and you know, the Los Angeles Philharmonic, and we saw the Bolshoi once. So we are now going to do that for the kids of Nagoya, and I think that's pretty sensational.
And all those little primo ballerinas are going to be looking up there and saying, "Mom, I can do that. Mom, I want to be in a tutu."
Exactly.
I hope they're not too young because I want them to know we're men.
Mom, that woman's legs are so large.
Exactly.
She's got hair. She's got hair under her arms.
Under her arms.
Well, folks, if you want to check them out, and I highly recommend you do.
I'll be there.
First and foremost, because the entire show, all of the money from this show, 100% of the net proceeds are going to benefit the AIDS Foundation of Chicago. So it's a way to support just a great cause. But for an enjoyable evening, Thursday, January 17th at 7:30 p.m., you can visit harristheaterchicago.org or you can call 312-334-7777 for tickets. And if you're not in the Chicagoland area and you want to catch up with the Trocs, you can catch them at trocadero.org. All those links will be in the show notes. Tori, thank you so much for sitting down and chatting with us.
My pleasure. Hope to meet you guys in a few weeks in Chicago.
And thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This show is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light, always worth it.
And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Broadway in Chicago, for the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
So that's our show. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick. Please comment on our shows on our website and in iTunes.
The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it.
Windy City Queercast, queer and now.
The best and the brightest served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Pod Show, and Limelight.